We sung about it, declaring that we will rise, and the question has been asked to us today, if we really believe that we will rise from the dead, as Jesus told us that we would, if we have faith in Christ, how does that impact and how does that change how we live today? If there really is a resurrection for those that believe in Jesus, those that know Christ, and look, they're live feeding me right now. Do you see that? Wow. So here's the deal. On our mission trip, we had live feed the entire time. I'm going to do it right back at you. How about that? And it goes right into my sermon, so I couldn't have paid you more for that. That sounds like a plan. There we go. We had a really good trip. Did you know that? It went awesome. We got back from New York City, and our third trip, it was amazing. We had spent 2 years laboring, laying groundwork, and I'm happy to announce to you that on our third trip there, we saw, is it 16, right? We saw 17 people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 17 people. Here's what's really cool. Are you ready? You're ready? Of those 17, one of those was the pastor's daughter that accepted Christ during Vacation Bible School. And we praise the Lord for how he's doing. And, you know, talking about those that accept Jesus and knowing that God is going to bring resurrection for those that believe in Jesus and accept Christ, we're beginning a new series today called Staying Up in a Down World, knowing that God is going to raise us. See, that's good news. But we don't always get good news every day. We don't always get it. A lot of times our good news can be overshadowed by bad news. And for me personally, I forget a lot of stuff to begin with. I got to write notes, I got to take notes, and that sort of thing. This morning I was looking all over the house to find my wallet before I left. I was tearing it up inside out, trying to find my wallet. And I remember that I put it in a place where I wouldn't forget it this morning. That's literally what happened. So I know that sometimes I'm very prone to forget the good stuff because bad stuff comes. Something great happens, a good mission trip, or we see God is doing stuff, and that's why we did the live feeds for everybody so we could well document what was happening on our trips, right? Yeah, team, right? We did that so we could document what was happening because we don't want to forget how awesome of a trip this was and how God did it. But there's also great things in your life that you don't want to forget because God has blessed you in that time and he touched you in that time. But at the same time, this is the way life works. Bad news can sometimes really steal the joy away from you. Even in the midst of good news of a trip that was so good, this week on this amazing trip where God was moving, all of our phones started buzzing that there had been another terror attack by ISIS, radical Islam. It happened while we were there. While we are serving the Lord, we're a great experience, and then what happens? We see another terror attack, a very vicious one in France. And you know, so here's this good time that we had, and then bam, here's bad news. And man, in that moment, you can just so forget the bad news. And just the week right before we came, I mean, my goodness, there was the shooter in Orlando that killed police officers, and that was tragic. Man, it was horrible to see that happening and to see police officers targeted and killed. We made an effort when we were in New York as much as we could to find NYPD officers and pray with them and tell them that we loved them and that Jesus loved them. And it was amazing because every time we found an NYPD officer, they were so receptive and almost blown away and shocked that we thanked them and we prayed for them. It was pretty amazing. When I went on vacation a few weeks ago, it was right in the midst of our vacation that we learned about the Orlando shooter and the terrorist attack that happened there. So, I mean, it's just like we're hearing it more and more and more. And even on my news feed today, it popped up. There's some police officers were shot or something like that. I mean, it's just like a never-ending stream of this violence that we're seeing and death that we're seeing. In many ways, this generation that's currently rising up is going to be defined by terror. Isn't that awful that this generation that is currently growing up is living in an age where mass shootings and terroristic acts and violence is the norm? It's very, very sad. And I think about that, what we're seeing on a global level of knowing that danger is here and that we live in very dangerous times, and it's scary, very scary times that strike our hearts and strike where we are, and it causes us to take stands. It causes us to be nervous. It causes us to be afraid and anxious and things like that. But then that is in addition to what we experience on a normal everyday life. Us here in Owensboro have not had a terrorist attack, praise God, but we have other bad news that will often make us forget the good stuff. Am I right, church? You lost your job. Bad news. There's a sickness. Bad news. A death. There is bad news. There is the words that, you know what, I'm leaving you. After X amount of years of marriage, I had an affair, I'm leaving you. We're out of money. We got to file bankruptcy. These are all things that can really seriously strike the core of who we are. And even us as Christians are not immune to that. If today you are a Christ follower and you believe in Jesus, there are some preachers that are out there that will tell you that if you follow Jesus and you love Jesus, then you'll never get sick, you'll never hurt, you'll never have a hard time, you'll never go through the stuff that everybody else goes through. But guys, can I tell you something? That is a false gospel. That is a false gospel that teaches that we don't experience hardship. Yes, God is the giver of all good gifts, but Jesus also told us himself that as Christians, we will have trouble. We will. And ultimately, when we think about resurrection, Jesus had to die before he was resurrected. And we as Christians, and we long and we pray for the ultimate, when we experience resurrection too, we too will have to go through some hardship. And here's the deal, we'll have to go through death before we get resurrection. You know, hard times will always come. And the reality is the world is in a constant state of spiraling down. The world does not give you good news. Y'all know that, right? The media outlets don't tune in to say, man, we had X amount of people go to New York City and share Jesus. That's not going to be covered. But if there's a scandal, if there's crime, if there's terror, boom, it's covered. See, our world thrives off of bad news. It thrives off of bad news. You're sick. You're in debt. You're divorced. You're going to get divorced. You're going to experience this, whatever. It thrives off of bad news. And we as Christians, Jesus teaches us that we have life and we have joy and we have all of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and etc. We have all of that. But how in the world are we supposed to stay up in a world that's constantly pushing us down? How do we do that? I mean, how do you lift your head up and say, oh my goodness, today's worth living when everything just got blown away by a truck running over people in a random act of terror in France? Or well, how do you keep your head up when there's a sniper on a roof picking out police officers? Or how do you lift your head up when a dude walks into a club and just shoots people in the name of his false god? How do you do that? How do you keep your head up? First and foremost, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me go ahead and answer this for you. I don't know how you keep your head up. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I don't know how you stay up in a down world. I don't know how you do it. But if you are a follower of Christ, you have something to fall back on. You have something to remind you how to keep going when everything is pushing you down. Here's the big idea for this, and we're beginning a new series today, Staying Up in a Down World, and we're going to just be going verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 15, but here's the big idea that I want you to catch. You ready? When the world gets me down, I remember the resurrection. When the world gets me down, I need to remember the resurrection, that Jesus was alive, he died, was put down in the grave, and 3 days later, he did what? He rose up. I need to remember today that when things are going crazy, when things are going haywire, when things are nuts, that it's not over yet for the Christian. When things are hard and difficult and slimy and greasy and challenging and tempting, it's not over yet. And I need to remember that there's a resurrection coming. Now, I want you to take in your Bibles and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is writing. He's writing to the church in Corinth, and man, they got all kinds of problems. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Repeat after me. Say, you should be glad that you didn't go to the church of Corinth. Now look at your neighbor. Say, you should be glad you go to Life Community Church. There you go, all right? So there you go. Corinth was a messed up place. Messed up. I mean, you think you've seen church scandal? You ain't seen nothing till you go to the church of Corinth. I mean, you got guys having affairs with their stepmother. I mean, it's the whole gambit, all right? 1 Corinthians is a little PG-13. You know what I mean by that? It's a little on the edge. This church is doing everything wrong. And Paul has to remind them several of the core tenets of the faith because, man, they had just blown it. They had just messed it all up. But one of the core things he reminds them of is the coming resurrection. And he starts about the resurrection of Jesus. And throughout the chapter, as he talks about the resurrection, he builds and explains why it's necessary. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is talk about resurrection. But today, what we need to know is that if we're going to stay up in a down world, we need to just remember that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Look what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 15. Let's read it in its entirety today, and then I'll reference it as we go through. He says, now, brothers, I want to clarify. Now, if you ever hear a preacher say, brothers, I want to clarify, you know what that means? That brother wants to clarify. He wants to tell you how it is. Some translations say, I want you to remember. He says, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaimed to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. So these people have believed in Jesus and the message of Jesus, and they're taking a stand on it. You are also saved by it. You hold the message I proclaimed to you unless you believe for no purpose. They need to be reminded of that because of how they were living. They were living wicked, so they need to be reminded that they had already taken a stand for the gospel and they weren't to go backwards. And he says, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received. What's the most important thing you can ever talk about in Christianity? The most important thing, Paul tells you. The most important thing in all of Christianity is this, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to scriptures. Church, that's the most important thing you can ever know. Is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Say amen to that this morning. Now listen, I'm not a preacher that fishes for amens, but when we talk about the most important thing being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's got to get amen, not for the preacher's sake, but for the message's sake. There you go. And he says this, and that he appeared, that is, Jesus appeared bodily resurrected to Cephas, that's Peter, and to the 12. Then he appeared to 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive at the writing of Paul. But some have fallen asleep, which means they died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul writes, as the one abnormally born, because he came at a different time. Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't one of the 12. He became an apostle at a different time. An apostle was one of the ones that saw the resurrected Jesus. And Paul became an apostle when he saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he says, for I am the least of all the apostles, meaning that he was the last of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I was telling one of our team members this. You forget this, but you know that the apostle Paul was a terrorist before he became the greatest preacher in all of Christianity. You know that, right? He was a terrorist. He killed Christians. Never forget that. I persecuted the church of God, but by God's grace, I am what I am. Who here today is what they are? They are what they are because of Jesus today. Amen. That's exactly right. And he says, his grace towards me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them. Yet not I, but God's grace that was in me. God got in me. I was the last, but I have worked hard, is what he says. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we proclaim the message of resurrection. And so you have believed, he told the Corinthian believers. So Paul is telling them, he says, guys, you cannot forget the resurrection. You have got to remember the resurrection. So today, 2,000 years later, you too, to stay up in a down world, you have got to remember that Jesus rose from the dead, because it's got huge implications for how we live our lives, huge implications for how we process and see life and do life. So here's the big question. Why should I remember the resurrection? Let me give you 3 points today. Why should I remember the resurrection? First is this. I remember the resurrection because it's a big deal. Now, is that fair to say today? It's a big deal. Big deal. Paul says that it's the most important thing, is what he says. I declare to you what is the most important thing. And he tells us what it is. Jesus was alive. He died, was buried, and rose again. And that he fulfilled Scripture in the process of that. Now, when you talk about the divinity of Jesus, you've got to understand that Jesus, though his title was Son of God, that was his title, he is God. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is part of the Trinity, the second member of the Trinity, and he is God in flesh. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst men. Jesus is flesh and Jesus is also God. It is a mystery that we cannot fathom. But it was predicted in the Scriptures. The Old Testament prophets wrote about it, and Jesus died, and he was died for our sins, meaning that he took our payment, our punishment, what we deserve. Anybody deserve punishment today? If not, raise the other hand because you do, okay? We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every one of us. Everybody has messed up and broken God's law. All of us have. And because of that, we deserve God's wrath. But Jesus took the wrath of God for us because that was God's plan of love for us to be saved. And that is wonderful. The resurrection is a big deal because Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And as you read further in Paul's writing, it talks about how we too will experience resurrection one day, and that we can't forget that we will be part of resurrection. And if we have faith in Christ, we are alive today. Our spirits have been resurrected, and one day our bodies will be resurrected. But now at least our spirits are resurrected, and we are alive in Christ. Now, when the world's doing its thing, and it's treating you bad, and it's pushing you down and giving you bad news, you're going to be tempted to think that the biggest deal that you're dealing with is that issue. But it's not. It's not. The biggest issue ever is the resurrection of Jesus. And the reality is, if no matter how big and just crazy huge and ugly that thing is, the resurrection of Jesus is bigger. And if you're on this side of resurrection, of believing and having faith in Jesus, then you have already aligned yourself with somebody that's defeated death. Now, I don't know any of you all that can walk into a funeral home and make that person come back to life. I don't know any of you all that could do that. But Jesus could. And when Jesus literally, physically died for our sins and was buried, he was raised. Can I tell you something? No matter what you're dealing with, Jesus has accomplished and overcome the greatest problem, period, and that's death. So if Jesus has taken care of the death issue, whatever you have dealing with, he's got it today. He's got it. He's got it. The worst thing you could deal with is death, and he's got that. So you know what? The resurrection is a big deal. And when you are tempted to believe that everything is crumbling, just remember that Jesus rose from the dead. He's got that this morning. He's got it. The second thing I want you to remember is this. I remember the resurrection because it really happened. It really happened. Well, Kenny, that was an allegory. When Jesus died, that was a spiritual allegory that he came back to life, and that it doesn't really matter if there was a bodily resurrection or not. It matters how we interpret that and we see that in our spirit. And if you want to believe in resurrection, then that's great. It was metaphorical and allegory. To which I would look at that person and say, you're an idiot. Because when you read the scriptures, what does it say? Look back in the passages. He says that Christ appeared to Peter first. We're not actually told about that event in the Gospels. Paul talks about it, but that's not mentioned in the Gospels. But Paul says that Peter had a one-on-one encounter. Then he appeared to the rest of them. And then he appeared to 500 people, okay? Well, that was a mass group hallucination. Yeah, right? By the way, there's no documented case of mass hallucination, period. Did you know that? Yeah, right, okay? But I think the biggest thing that Paul says, he leaves the last two, he says, and then he appeared to James, and he appeared to me. You want to know proof that Jesus is real? Look at James and Paul. James was not one, this is not one of the James that was of the 12. This was a different James. This was James the who? The brother of Jesus. He is the author of the epistle of James. You don't want to know something? In the Gospels, the brothers show up a couple of times thinking that Jesus is nuts and off his rocker, wanting to get him out of there. They're embarrassed by him. James would have been one of those guys. So would Jude, who wrote the epistle of Jude. So how in the world, if your brother, who you don't believe while he's doing earthly ministry, okay? You don't believe in him, but then he dies, and now you become one of the founders of the church, and then you yourself would be persecuted and killed for the gospel. That doesn't make sense. How do you convince kid brother that you're God? Anybody got a big brother in here? What if he came to you and said, I'm God? What would you do? Really, think about that. What would you do? You know, what would you do? There had to be proof. And look at Paul. Look at Paul. That dude was crazy. He was breathing out threats, going to the Christians. He was murdering Christians. The first martyr of the church, Stephen, Paul stood there and watched and gave his approval for Stephen to be stoned to death. Bloodthirsty Paul was. Bloodthirsty. And the Bible says on his way to Damascus, he was breathing out murderous threats. Murder was in his mind. He was a religious radical is what he was. And what happens? What happens? The resurrected Jesus appears to him. He falls on his knees. His eyes are blacked out. He's blind for a few days. A disciple, one of the disciples, his name is Ananias, a brother in the Lord, God appears to him and says, you need to go get Paul. By the way, how would you like that call, all right? Hey, dude, you need to go check out this terrorist guy that's blowing everything up. You know, this terrorist dude, he just got saved. Would you go down there and tell him about Jesus? And by the way, he came here to kill you? That's what happened, right? Ananias goes down there. Paul gives his life to Jesus. Paul ends up writing the majority of the New Testament. So you ready? What's cool? When you read your Bible, did you know it's written by people that shed blood, and not just any kind of blood? It shed the blood of people just like you that are followers of Jesus. So if resurrection is not real, how do you convince a terrorist to give his life to Jesus? How? How? See, the resurrection really happened. And when we start thinking, oh, Lord, where are you? Everything's pushing me down. God, where are you? Go backwards and think to the historical. Think back to what it really means that, yes, that resurrection is real. And I have proof. I know that it's real. There's historical proof that Jesus rose from the dead. And even if there wasn't, I believe and I feel his living presence inside of me. And I know he's real. I know he's real. I believe in my Savior. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives. Why, church? He lives. Because he's in us. He's in us. When you're tempted to be down, go back to the fact that Jesus is up. That Jesus is up. Third, I remember the resurrection. I remember the resurrection because it leads me to believe. Now look what Paul says towards the end. I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them. He's talking about his testimony, how God changed him. Yet not I, but God's grace that was with me. And look what he says. This is the key that I want you to remember. Therefore, whether it is I or they, James, Peter, other believers, we just proclaim to you and you believe. We proclaim that Jesus rose. We proclaim he's alive. And I think what's wonderful is that when we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we have such faith. It's a big deal. He can cover it. But yes, it's our own personal faith that God's going to get a chance to work out through us. That dark time is a chance for God to shine. This morning, I text a group of preachers every morning that I'm friends with, and I just tell them I'm praying for them. And I guess some of them had saw our Facebook post about it, and one of them said, you know, praise God for the salvations in New York City. And I said, yeah, keep praying. I said, you know, when we go up there, we have such an amazing trip. We do our fun day at the very end. And I like doing that at the end because you have this amazing trip and you feel like you've accomplished something. And then you go see the city and you look and you say, holy cow, the work is still here. Right, team? Love doing that. I love doing that because we don't ever want to leave thinking that we got the job done. You know what I mean by that? We don't ever want to leave thinking we got the job done. So it's a reminder to say, boom, shakalaka, we got to go back. That's what it means. And we got to. But I texted those guys, and one of them wrote me back something, and he said something so great. He said, light will always shine the brightest in the darkest places. That's what he wrote me this morning. Went right with my sermon. When you are down at your lowest, that's when Jesus will be his highest. And when he's that high, he is reaching down to grab you. And you know what? Lift you out of that. And to bring glory and praise to his name. Today, the temptation is to completely forget the resurrection. And as we study the resurrection over the next few weeks and we talk about why it's so critical to our doctrine, our theology of what we believe, why we remember the resurrection of Jesus. What I'm just telling you today is that do not forget. Your newsfeed is going to keep giving you bad messages, bad posts. Your work's going to keep giving you bad stuff. The telephone's going to keep calling you and giving you bad news. But if you're living with Jesus, you're living at a higher plane of living than those without Jesus. Today, I remember the resurrected Jesus. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives in me. Does he live in you today? If you were to die, do you know that resurrection is in your future? That your spirit is alive in Christ right now? Do you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved? Maybe there's someone here today that does not know that they are lost or does not know that they're saved, and you are lost on your way to a sinner's hell, and you need Christ to bring you back to life. Jesus offers that to you, and all you have to do is believe he died, believe he died for sins, turn from your sins, and follow Christ. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning if you've never received the free gift of life from Jesus, resurrection from Jesus. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And maybe today you have never given your life to Christ. And you would say, Kenny, if I was to die today, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm lost and I need Christ. I want to invite you to pray a prayer this morning. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's not a chant or anything like that. It's just simply a confession that you need Christ in your life. Do you admit that you're a sinner? Do you believe Christ died for your sins and was buried? Will you turn to Him and then confess and choose Him and turn to Christ? Maybe today you feel Him knocking on your heart. I want to encourage you to open that door to Him and let Him in, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, because He's alive today. If you're ready to pray that prayer for the first time, would you pray this with me? Dear God, I am a sinner. I am spiritually dead. But I believe in Jesus. I turn from my sin and I look to Christ. Thank you for saving me. I believe you're alive. Come into my life. I ask in your name. If you pray that for the very first time, don't look yet. Keep your eyes closed if you would. I don't embarrass or anything like that. That's not just how I do things. But with no one looking but just me and a couple of our deacons, would you just say, Kenny, I prayed and asked Christ into my heart for the very first time. Would you just slide your hand up and say, I did that for the very first time? Real quick, slide it up real quick. Maybe today you're pretty down today. Life has got you down, and you just need to remember that we rise in Christ. We rise in Jesus. I pray today's sermon encouraged you to know that death is not the end, sickness is not the end. But if you have faith, if you have faith, resurrection is the beginning. So, Father, we love you. I pray today that as people come and pray at the altar, or they pray with the deacon, or they pray with me, or even if they just sit there and sing, that you, Lord, would just touch their hearts in a powerful way and help them to stay focused on Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your greatness. Forgive us of our sins. Thank you for raising us through belief in Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you rise this morning as we sing our praises to God?
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been.